should be getting ready for our second quiz, which will be this Wednesday. So any material from Chapter 4 that we covered is fair, and then any material up through today's lecture, so up through the problems we'll do today, are fair game for the quiz. So for quiz material, what I usually do on quizzes is, like before, usually probably two problems where you have to show your work. Two, maybe three problems where you have to show your work. So concentrate on the types of problems that we've gone through in class here, and you should be fine. You will be given any equations that we've been given up till now in the notes. So I'll, for instance, give you the ideal gas law. Right? I'll give you PV equals nRT. I will not give you any of the empirical gas laws. So I won't say that this is proportional to that or this is proportional to that. You can do like we said and get that from the ideal gas law. Right? So anything that's constant, you just sort of cover those up and look at what the relationship is between the two that you're changing. So I think that's about it. I'll give you the dilution equation. I'll give you M1V1 equals M2V2. Right? And any constants that you may not be close to. Okay? Mastering chemistry, I hope after today you'll definitely be able to get majority of the Chapter 5 questions done. Several of them involved empirical gas laws and the ideal gas law. So a lot of them will involve the calculations you're doing today and so on. So you should be able to get a good amount of Chapter 5's assignment done just after today. But then the rest of it will come on Wednesday. I think that's about it. You guys have questions? So let's keep pushing on here. Let's talk about the property of density of a gas. Density is, we've talked a bit about density for liquids and solids, right? It's how much mass is contained within a certain volume, right? It's a measure of how compact the matter is. If there's a lot of matter shoved into a small volume, that's something that's very dense. If it's a volume with not much matter in it, relatively, then it's much less dense. So we can do a similar thing with densities of gases. Okay? It's actually pretty easy to calculate the density of gas at standard temperature and pressure, because density is mass divided by volume. If we know the molar mass of a gas, okay, how would I know what the molar mass is of a gas like O2 or Cl2? Yeah, from the periodic table, right? Right? Units of molar mass are grams per mole, right? We said something special about molar volume of a gas last time. Anybody remember what we said? It was a certain value. That's right. Let's go back right here. We decided, I even had you calculate it yourself, right? 22.4 liters per mole. Under what conditions, though, is a gas 22.4 liters per mole? Standard temperature and pressure, that's right. So let's write that over here. All right. 22.4 liters per mole at standard temperature and pressure. What units do I get if I take grams per mole divided by liters per mole? Grams per liter. Okay, so density of gases are usually given in grams per liter. Better parentheses there. Okay, densities of other stuff is grams per milliliter or cubic centimeter or something like that. Right. So you have a question, Chuck?
Yes, but is it inappropriate to ever do a gas that is doing grams per cubic centimeter or something?
You can use whatever units you want, right? As long as you, you know, calculate it correctly and show an appropriate unit. Okay? Grams per liter is what gases will, is what their density will be given as if you look it up in a table, for instance. Okay? And why is that? Why would we? Why would grams per liter be more appropriate for a gas than grams per cubic centimeter, or milliliter, or something? Yeah. That's right. When we did the atomic or the molecular view of solids, liquids, and gases, we saw that gases are spread way apart. They're mostly empty space, right? So gases are much less dense than liquids and solids, right? So to get reasonable values, we talk about how many grams there are in a liter as opposed to how many grams there are in a milliliter, something like that, okay? So densities of gases in grams per liter will be like things like 1, 2, 3, 4 grams per liter, something like that. Okay. So, let's calculate the density of oxygen gas at standard temperature and pressure. Okay. When we're at STP, our calculation is simplified greatly, right? What should I start with? Molar mass. Okay. Why don't you look up the molar mass of oxygen. What's special about oxygen as an element that would affect our calculation here? Oxygen is diatomic. What's the formula of oxygen gas? O2. Okay. So don't forget that. Okay. So calculate a molar mass, then use what we talked about up there to calculate the density. Of yourselves already. Well, somebody down here, what is the molar mass of O2? Yeah. 32.00 grams per mole. So, to get the density, do what we did above, right? Density equals molar mass divided by molar volume, so 32.00 grams per mole divided by 22.4 liters per mole. Okay. What did somebody over here get? Two in front, what'd you get? 4.3 grams. Yeah. Okay. At standard temperature and pressure. The density of other things changes at different temperatures too, but the density of gases really changes at different pressures and different temperatures, right? So, here. I briefly mentioned SF6. What's the name of SF6? How do we name that? Sulfur hexafluoride, right? Six fluorines. Sulfur hexafluoride. Fluoride. Okay. If I want a density of that at standard temperature and pressure, I need its molar mass. So, somebody want to add that up for me? What, 06? No? 07? 07. 07? What is the density of sulfur hexafluoride at standard temperature and pressure? Sulfur hexafluoride is one of the densest gases that I know of, anyway. Fairly large molar mass is really the only reason for it. It is able to be a gas, really, only because it's perfectly symmetrical. It's a very spherical molecule, so doesn't have as much surface area as a flat molecule would have like that, for instance. But I want to show you something involving sulfur hexafluoride. Some of you may have actually seen this already, but we'll see here. Put the sound in. Oh, come on. Really? This is just terribly interesting for all of you. So on my webpage, got some fun videos here. Ah! Sulfur hexafluoride blooper. That'll be good. Before I play it, I'll tell you who this is. This is Lance Lund, a chemistry instructor at the Coon Rapids campus. And 15 years ago or something like that, they recorded a chemistry demonstration show to be shown on local access or something as a promotional tool for the college. So, let's see if we can get sound. Oh, so. Oh, I don't know. YouTube. Okay.
That's all? Yeah. Oh boy, my voice is good.
It's just helium, right? We've all done that before.
Oh, this time. Oh. Well, you can tell I have a lot of fun with playing all of these gases. But not as much fun as the next one that I have here. Now, you've obviously seen that this balloon here, this blue one, will show something that was very dense. And you'll see here that when I let go of it, you've maybe heard of the lead balloon. Well, this is the proverbial lead balloon. And this balloon is filled with an extremely dense gas called sulfur hexafluoride. Now, sulfur hexafluoride has a density which is 5 times greater than air. In other words, its molecules are 5 times heavier than corresponding air molecules. They also happen to be, in case you're interested, about 35 times heavier than molecules of helium. So let's just see what these heavy molecules do when I inhale these.
As you can tell, my voice is really low. And the interesting about the sulfur hexafluoride is that because it is so dense, the sulfur hexafluoride stays down in my lungs, and as such, I can talk much, much longer with a deep voice because that sulfur hexafluoride is gone down into my lungs and is staying there. Now, I'll take just one more swig of this sulfur hexafluoride so you can just really tell how this works. Oh boy! No, I almost threw up on that one. So, the molecules are so heavy. Now, the thing I gotta do here is that before I go out on a marathon, I gotta purge my lungs of this stuff. The way I do that is to stand on my head. So, Hills, you care to give us a shot? So, oh, I think I got rid of it.
Man, I would be remiss if I didn't play this for you. Like everything else good on YouTube, it has been remixed.
Oh boy, my voice is really high this time.
Just one more swig of this pulp hexafluoride, so you can just really tell how this works. I almost threw up on that one. So.
Autographed some photos and sent them to somebody that asked for them. He's become a bit of a YouTube celebrity over that. So, all right.
Your next Andy, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, they could do that 15 years ago. Since then, sulfur hexafluoride has just become ridiculously expensive. Just a tiny little container of it, enough to fill up like 4 or 5 balloons, is like $500. Or something like that. So it was
a lot.
I don't know. It's it's become a lot more expensive in just the last year or so since there have been a lot of YouTube videos of people that have been playing with it. There was some guy that went on Jay Leno a couple of years ago and had a fish tank filled with it, and you just stick your head in. And so stuff like that increased the demand of something that was never very popular. So that was it. But then. Transport of any kind of flammable gases doubled or tripled in the last 5 years or so, just because of regulations and stuff. Anyway. So it's good they're around to make the videos for us to laugh at back when it was cheap. So density of a gas at STP is just simple, right? It's just related. It's proportional to the molar mass because all you're doing is dividing by that 22.4. Let's calculate it at other pressures or temperatures. Okay, let's see how we're going to do this. Whenever we're dealing with pressures changing, temperatures changing, any of that, what's the equation we're going to use? What have we used so far when we're talking about changing pressure, changing volume, changing moles? Yeah, PV equals nRT. Use Bivnert. Okay, so what does that mean? N. What does N stand for?
Number of moles.
Okay. I can get moles if I have a mass in grams multiplied by a molar mass. Or I'm sorry, divided by a molar mass, right? Moles in grams per one mole, right? We have to divide by molar mass in order to get grams to cancel, right? That's up here, that's molar mass, all right? So, that just means N, I'll rewrite it over here, equals mass over capital M, little n. I don't remember what the book uses, but that's what I use for molar mass, okay, 2 m's. So, if we take grams, if we divide it by grams per mole, we get moles, right? That makes sense? So, if I have PV equals nRT, but then substitute this in for n, I get PV equals mass over molar mass times RT. Okay. If I want to be talking about density, what should I have somewhere in this? What could I rearrange in here for us to be talking more about density? What's density? Mass over volume. So instead of mass over molar mass, let's do mass over volume. So P times molar mass equals mass over volume times RT. P molar mass equals D RT. So that was just taking a way to get moles out of a mass and a molar mass. Okay? I substituted it in, and when you got something on the top and on the bottom on either sides of an equal sign, you can cross multiply and switch their places. Right? I divided both sides by V, then I multiplied both sides by molar mass. So swap them. Okay? You can do that in algebra. So here's an equation. On exams and quizzes, you will be given PV equals nRT. Okay? You will not be given P molar mass equals dRT. So if that's an equation you find useful, you might want to practice that enough so that it is comes to you. Otherwise, practice putting mass over molar mass in for n and rearranging to get that. Okay? So here's our question. What's the density of O2 gas at 125 C and 740 millimeters of mercury? Okay. If I rearrange this equation for D, what would it be? D equals
what? Molar mass divided by RT.
Okay. So what I would like you to do on your own, set up this equation like we have, where write out the variables. Okay. R will always be given for you. R is 0.08206 liters atmospheres per Kelvin mole. Right. By the way, since those are our units of R, what does that mean about the unit for pressure? Yeah. What does that mean about the unit of temperature? Okay, so very careful of units. Atmospheres. So, I'll give you 2 minutes to work that out. Let me know if you're stuck with it. equation. Nine, seven, three, six. I got 9, 7, 3, 6, 8. Is that the right? Is that the next digit? Okay. That's your molar mass we had before. R is a constant. 0.206. T, you guys use 398.15. All right. Do the units in our calculation cancel out to give us something appropriate? Yeah, they should, because atmospheres on the top and the bottom, grams does not cancel, moles, okay, on the top and the, or I'm sorry, this is the bottom of the top and the bottom of the bottom, so that cancels. Okay, Kelvin, so what's left? Grams per liter, okay? What'd you get, somebody in the back there?
0.954.
That's what I got. Okay, that makes sense. Again, just a plug and chug, right? You get the proper equation here. Be sure to make sure your units are appropriate for the value of R that you've used. Okay. If you are given mass, volume, pressure, and temperature, you can calculate the molar mass of a gas. This was one of the first ways that actual molar masses of substances could be easily calculated. For an unknown substance, for instance. If you isolated some substance and purified it but weren't quite sure what it was, and if it was a liquid usually, liquid or if you made a gas out of it, this would be a way to measure molar mass. So they did a lot of this 100 years ago or so. All that you'd really need to do would be to have a certain mass of liquid heat it up until it vaporizes. So you get a liquid that's boiling or something, heat it up until just all the liquid is gone, and then quick, put a cap on it. Right? So you know what temperature everything is. Right before you put the cap on, the pressure was the same as atmospheric pressure. Okay? So really all you needed to know was what mass of substance you put in there and what volume of the container is expanded to fill up. So let's do it. P molar mass is dRT. Molar mass equals dRT over P. But there's no D in what we're given. What do we do? What's D? Yeah, density is mass over volume. Okay. So an easy way to get this into just one equation, because density is mass over volume, it would be mass RT over volume times P. Right here, mass over volume that's the same as multiplying by a density. Okay? So, there's your given information. Go to it. What do you have to convert milliliters to?
Liters.
What do you have to convert the pressure to? Somebody over here, what pressure did you get? 99211? Looks like it's set up right anyway. Everybody get a molar mass that is an appropriate size to be a molar mass. What did you get over here? 84.3? Any other 84.3s? Yeah, lots of 84.3s. I think that's our answer. What's the unit?
Grams per
mole. Grams per mole. Good to me. And you can practice canceling out the units. The only ones that will remain will be the grams and the moles. Right there. Okay? Any questions about this? So, remember, PV equals NRT. That's the ideal gas law. A simple variation of that is P molar mass equals DRT. So, solving for molar mass, we can do DRT over P, or we can do MRT over VP. So, the way I just like having a single equation, if I can, with all the variables lined up. If you wanted to do M over V first to get a density and then plug it into that middle one, that's the same thing. Okay? I'm just showing you a way to be meticulous and organized. I do it for you this way because if it's all written out like this, I can very, very easily see at which point you made some sort of mistake and can very accurately give you partial credit if your answer was incorrect. Okay? Questions? Bingo. So, let's talk mixtures of gases. It's all been pure gases up to now. Okay? We can only really use the ideal gas law with just one pressure, one volume, one end if it's a pure gas, for instance. Okay? For any mixture of gases, if we're ever interested in one gas out of that mixture to do some sort of calculation, we keep this in mind, that the total pressure is the sum of the pressures that each gas exerts on their own. Okay? So it's a real simple principle that students tend to make a little harder than it needs to be. But the idea is, if I have a container that has, you know, a tenth of an atmosphere of one gas and a tenth of an atmosphere of a different gas, okay, and I combine those together into the same size container, I would get a pressure of 0.2 atmospheres. Okay. So the total pressure of any one container is just the pressures of the individual gases added up. And the reason for that is because gas molecules are so spread apart that the one gas molecule acts totally independent of any other gas molecule. So you can have a sample of nitrogen where all the nitrogen molecules are flying around in there, but also put some oxygen in, and oxygen molecules will be flying around in there just as if there was no nitrogen. The oxygen molecules won't know the difference, whatever other gases you put in there. Okay. So that's the gist of it. Gas molecules act independently of each other. So if I make something fancy about that, P total equals PA, PB, PC, all added together. Okay? So those are that's Dalton's law of partial pressures. And whenever I talk about a partial pressure, that's just the pressure that one gas out of a mixture exerts. So if I have, you know, air, for instance, it's real simple. We have one atmosphere of air around us, approximately. Air is a certain percentage of nitrogen. I don't remember what it is. It's a majority of nitrogen, 70, 76, 80, something like that. Whatever percent of one atmosphere, okay, whatever percent of the air that's from that nitrogen will give nitrogen's partial pressure being that same percent. Okay? So it's just real simple. Let's make an equation out of that. A mole fraction is just a simple concept where I have number of moles of one substance divided by the total number of moles. Okay? This A is just for one substance. Okay? And if we're talking about a specific mixture of substances like N2 and O2, okay, the mole fraction of N2 would be moles of N2 divided by total moles. Okay? So that little A is substituted by whatever substance it is you're talking about. Okay? So it could be NH2O or NF2 or whatever divided by the total. That's whenever we see A, B, C, D, we're talking about different components of that mixture. All right. So let's say I have one container, constant volume, constant temperature. Okay? If we change volume and temperature, we mess up pressures and stuff, so we're not going to do that. Okay? The mole fraction, right, and this was the symbol, right? That's a Greek chi, C-H-I. It's just like an X that's a little curly. Okay? If I'm drawing a chi, I would do that. Okay? Whenever we see that chi, it's just the mole fraction. So, what is the maximum value of mole fraction? Think about that for a second. Let me ask it a different way. If I have equal moles of two substances in a mixture, what would be the mole fraction of one of them? 0.5 or 1/2, right? So minimum mole fraction is 0, and if we have any of that substance, it would be approaching 0. Okay? Maximum mole fraction is 1, where 1 would be a pure substance. Okay? So anything less than 1 is a mixture, but that's just the fraction of moles of something. Okay? Real simple. So here's mole fraction. That also equals the ratio of partial pressure to total pressure. Okay? That's what I was trying to explain earlier, talking about air. If we know the mole fraction of a gas, that will be the same ratio of its pressure to the total pressure. Okay? So if I have a mole fraction of 0.5 of one gas, then that gas's partial pressure will be half of the total pressure. Okay? So if mole fraction is 0.6, that gas's partial pressure will be 0.6 of the total. Okay? So all of those are equal to the mole fraction. Okay? So if I just take this one and take what's here and rearrange to make that, that just tells it to us a little different way, that the partial pressure, let me spell these out so you know how to pronounce these things, a different color here maybe. Partial pressure of substance A. Okay. If I want to know what its partial pressure is, if I know its mole fraction, I multiply the mole fraction by the total pressure. Okay. If I know the mole fraction is 0.75, I'll multiply 0.75 by the total pressure to get the partial pressure of that substance that I'm interested in. Okay? The reason that works is because of in PV equals NRT, right? Pressure and N are on two sides of that equation, so that means they're directly proportional if I'm not changing anything else. If I increase the pressure, that means I must have increased N if I left everything else the same. Okay? Or if I have one container and I add more molecules into it without changing volume or temperature or anything, I will increase pressure. So pressure and N are related to each other, right? They're proportional. That gives us this relationship. If I know mole fraction, I'll multiply that by the total pressure to get partial pressure. Okay? So, well, here it is right here. I made a pretty good guess. I said 75 or 80 without looking at this. So, here is 78% nitrogen by volume. What is the partial pressure of nitrogen if the atmospheric pressure is 755 millimeters of mercury that day? Now, pressure is related to moles. Okay? We did mole fraction and stuff with that. Volume is also related to moles. That was Avogadro's law. We saw that. So don't make this harder than it needs to be. If air is 78% nitrogen by volume, what is the mole fraction of nitrogen? Yeah. Mole fraction is 0.78. Okay. So, 0.78 is its mole fraction. The pressure of nitrogen will be 0.78 of the total pressure. Right? The volume of nitrogen is 0.78 of the total volume. Okay? Pressure and volume have the same that same relationship. So, P, pressure of N2. Right? Remember, instead of saying PA, I'm going to say PN2. This is called the partial pressure of nitrogen. Divide. There. Well, mole fraction of N2 times P total. And I didn't specify a unit. Let's just use the same unit. Let's just say millimeters mercury. Okay? So 0.78 times, what was the total pressure? Yeah. So what's the partial pressure of nitrogen in this case? 589 to 2 sig figs, though. 590. Okay, so I think this is a really nice clear illustration. If air makes up 760 millimeters of mercury of total pressure, 590 of that pressure comes from nitrogen. That comes from the nitrogen molecules striking the surface of the walls or you or the container or whatever. Because those gas molecules are independent of each other, the number of times they strike those walls is directly related to how much of them there is. If our sample would have been half nitrogen, then half of the strikes against the walls of the container would come from nitrogen. Okay? So half of the pressure would come from nitrogen. Okay? So this is it's a deal with a lot of variables, a lot of weird symbols, talking about partial pressure and so on. But if you just sort of stop and think about it, it's a real simple concept. Okay? You don't need to make this concept any more difficult than it is. If 78% of the molecules are nitrogen, then 78% of the pressure will come from nitrogen. That's it. Does that make sense? Okay. So, let's not forget that. Let's use that. See if we can figure this out. Mixture of 5 grams hydrogen, 8 grams nitrogen, and 10 grams of O2 has a total pressure of 7 atmospheres. And I want to know the partial pressures of each of those. Okay? So think for a second about how you would approach this problem. You may need to look back at these equations, right? Especially equations like these ones over here. Okay? Look back at those. Take just a moment and see if you can figure out what you need to do. And I've given you a hint here. When I give you moles of things, unless we're dealing with density, if there's no density involved anywhere, which there isn't here, if I give you grams of things, what do you almost always have to do with those grams? So
that might be a first course of action.
Let those grams know.
We got a number for moles of H2. What'd you get? 480. That's what I wrote down. Okay. We got moles N2. Shout it out if you got something. Anybody else get 0.2855? Alright. Who got a moles of O2? 3125.
Exact value.
Exact, well. It's actually not exact because this 32.00 is a measurement that we've rounded to 4 significant figures. So. Alright. Okay, we got grams into moles. That's usually a safe bet when you're given grams of things and there's no density to be spotted anywhere. Okay. Anybody have any ideas as to what we should do? What do you think, Nick? Find out the total number of moles. Okay. When we're dealing with a mixture of several things and we know moles of each of them, it will most likely be helpful to us to get a total number of moles. A little sum sign there. Who got a total? 3.07. Okay. All right. I have moles of each of them individually. I have the total moles by adding them up. Now what? What's that? Chi? Chi stands for what? Mole fraction? Let's calculate the mole fraction of each of those. And mole fraction is a fraction of what? What over what? Yep, moles of the substance you're interested in divided by total. Alrighty, mole fraction of H2. Point 0.8 something? Yeah. 8057. What unit does mole fraction have? Mole? Well, it's not quite a percentage. Percentage would be if I multiplied that by 100%. Okay? It is unitless. It's dimensionless, it's called. It's just a ratio of two like units. Okay? So, no unit. Okay? So, 0.8057 is what H2 is. N2, let's get something.
Yeah, 0.02276.
Somebody else get that? Yep. Okay. O2? Volunteer from over here to my left, anyone?
(0.0013)
That's about right. It's going to be a little bit bigger than the N21. Okay? Those are our mole fractions. Okay? I wanted partial pressures, so what will I do? What's that letter? Yeah, multiply each of those mole fractions by the total pressure. Okay? pH2 is 0.8057 times 7 atmospheres. Which to one significant figure? Let's pretend that we're exactly 7 atmospheres. You can't get an exact pressure value, but let's pretend. In a hypothetical thought experiment, you can say there were exactly 7 atmospheres. What would be the partial pressure of hydrogen? So what would it be? Yeah, let's just do that. That's probably the easiest. So, you'd be able to do that, right? So, multiply a mole fraction in by the total pressure, okay? Assuming we did this to the proper number of significant figures, okay? assuming we had appropriate number of significant figures. Okay? Let's say I started out with 3 significant figures, 5.00 grams or something like that, okay? And 7.00 atmospheres or something. I had 3 values for pressures. What would be a way to check your work? Yeah, those 3 should add up to the total pressure. Okay? That'll be a way of checking to make sure. And if they do not add up to the total, you need to go look at your numbers. I'm just going to add one quick thing to this that we don't need to do right now, but what I can actually do is ask a quick little question here. What is the volume of this container? If T is 298 Kelvin, if it's at room temperature. Any idea what you'd do to solve that? What's that? But what would you use for N? Yeah. Use total moles. And what'll I use for P?
Total pressure.
Yeah, total for N, N. PV equals NRT works regardless of the identity of the gas. So if we know that I have a certain number of moles of gas particles, it doesn't matter if it's a mixture of them or if it's them overall. Okay? If you were given a partial pressure, however, let's say you're given something like the partial pressure of 6 atmospheres of that hydrogen, what would I do to figure out how many moles of hydrogen it was? Let's say you were given partial pressure of a gas, you're given its volume and given the temperature. What would I do to figure out N for that case? Any ideas? Well, I'll give you a hint. PV equals NRT works for totals, okay? Works for total pressure and total moles. It also works for partials, okay? If I know the partial pressure of one substance, okay, and the volume of the container and the temperature, I can figure out how many moles of that one substance there is, okay? So you just have to be careful that P and N are talking about the same thing, okay? If one of them is talking about the total, then the other one has to talk about the total. If one of them is talking about just one component of the mixture, then the other one has to as well. Okay? Does that make sense? All right. So, if you want to work on that problem, I'll put a solution to that up in the notes that you could print off if you want. Okay? All righty. Let's talk about collecting a gas over water. Does this apparatus look familiar?
Sure.
Right? That's what you did. That was the magnesium hydrogen gas experiment. Okay? So, this is what I said before. Right? The partial pressures work in the ideal gas law too. So, P of A, okay, partial pressure of the gas we're talking about, times the volume, right, volume of the container is moles of that gas times R times the temperature for one of the gases in a mixture. So this picture right here, we're already familiar with this. Let's look at it closely now, though. Okay, here's zinc and HCl. Right. Was your experiment zinc? Yeah. No, magnesium. Okay, but zinc works the same way. Okay. Produces HCl gas. So, assuming after the air at least has been pushed out, these are H2s, okay? So little hydrogens. Okay? So we've got hydrogen gas being pushed along these lines. Okay? It goes under the water, bubbles up and through. Okay? I have a lot of hydrogen gas here, but I also have water vapor. Where did that come from? Yeah, when I bubble a gas through, that gas will be saturated with however much water vapor will fit in it. Okay, gases have different capacities for how much water vapor they can hold. Okay, and gases at different temperatures have different capacities for water vapor. Okay, if you went and stepped outside, okay, and the air outside was holding the maximum amount of water vapor that it could hold, what would the weatherman have said? What would the on-screen meteorologist have told you? Yeah, that's 100% relative humidity. Okay? So relative humidity is what percentage of water vapor there is within the air at that certain temperature. Okay? Dew point is another way that they do that, but it's a fixed value. Okay? Because 100% relative humidity is a different amount of water vapor at different temperatures. So dew point is an absolute value. Okay? It's fixed. A dew point of 60 feels, is starting to feel pretty humid no matter what temperature it is. Dew point of 70 is tropical no matter what temperature it is. The air feels thick in your, it actually turns out when the dew point gets to a certain level, your body's evaporative cooling system is no longer able to work as it usually does. What do we call biological evaporative cooling? Yeah, that's sweating. So that's dependent. If the air is already saturated with water, then sweating is not going to work very well. Right? You're not going to be able to effectively evaporate the water off the surface of your skin. So, all right. What were we talking about? We were talking about hydrogen. So the gas collected is actually a mixture of hydrogen and water vapor. Did we take account of that water vapor when we did our experiment? No. So that was another assumption. We made a lot of assumptions in that experiment and got data that pretty much worked for what we needed to. But for more careful work, You have to fix a couple of the assumptions like we did before, that the temperature and pressure were not necessarily at STP. Okay? That was one assumption that we made. The other is that we need to actually account for those water vapor molecules in there, because all of this gas here is not hydrogen. Okay? There's some fraction of water vapor in there that we can account for. So here's that value that I was talking about. Vapor pressure is the maximum partial pressure of water when it's saturated with air, or when it's saturated with water vapor. Okay? That's the vapor pressure. And here are just some example values. Like we said, that depends on the temperature of the air. 25-degree air can hold more water vapor than 20-degree air can. So 100% relative humidity at 25 C actually feels much more humid than 100% relative humidity at 20 C. Okay? So with that in mind, what's actually going to be inside of this bubble inside of here of gas, there will be a total pressure. Okay? What can we assume that total pressure would be equal to? What's that?
Hydrogen plus water.
What? How would we know, though, what that total pressure would be equal to? You don't have to hook up a pressure sensor to it. What's that total pressure? Yeah. Greater than the force of gravity? No? No. Just because of the force of gravity, right? This is able to, the gravity is able to push this water. I'm sorry, okay, let's think of it this way. What is pushing that water up into that tube? How come that water doesn't just fly out? Atmospheric pressure, right? We saw this before when I showed you a picture of a apparatus used to measure atmospheric pressure. What was that called? A barometer, right, has atmospheric pressure, right, approximately one atmosphere pushing down, right? This water level plus the gas in there, right, that will rise to whatever level it is where gravity equals the opposite force pushed by the atmosphere. Okay? So what can we assume that the total pressure inside of that bubble there is? Yeah.
The outside atmosphere.
Yeah. That is the outside atmospheric pressure. Measured with a barometer. Right? So, you go over to the barometer that's in your laboratory, or you'll go on the Weather Channel and look at what the barometric pressure happens to be that day at your closest weather station. Okay? Total pressure is the atmospheric pressure. Okay? pH2O here, what did I call that? What did I call the partial pressure of water when it's saturated? That's the vapor pressure. We get that from a table, something like that. Yeah. pH2, then, will be the partial pressure of hydrogen gas. And this will be the value that we can use in PV equals nRT to calculate moles of hydrogen gas. So, this is a correction that we're making. Rather than saying we have atmospheric pressure of hydrogen in there, what will the partial pressure of hydrogen be compared to atmospheric pressure? Will it be greater? Less? Yeah, it'll be a little less. Okay? Because some of the pressure that contributes towards that total will come from the water vapor. Okay? So, we won't do this. We'll set this up. We'll start by working out this one next time. But here's a setup, right? Similar to something you could have recorded in lab, except we're going to actually calculate for all of those assumptions that we've made. Okay? So let's just set this one up, and then that'll just take a second, and then we'll go. Okay? The equation, I have to use a couple of equations here. Okay? I have to use P total equals PH2O plus PH2. Okay. I have to use PV equals NRT, but pressure of just the hydrogen, moles of just the hydrogen. Okay? So this is a volume of gas we collected. Okay? I want to know how many moles of hydrogen were in there. Okay? This is what we have to do. First, we have to correct for the vapor pressure of water. Then we'll use the ideal gas law with the corrected vapor pressure. Okay. So okay. So what will I use for P total? How am I going to figure out what to use for pressure of water? Water gas. If temperature is 23, maybe we need to look back a page. Yeah. Let's call that water gas. Yeah. 21.10. So, what will I do to get pressure of hydrogen? Subtract. Okay. That'll be a certain value. Okay. But we're using PV equals NRT. Solving for moles, right? You'll be able to rearrange that, okay? That'll be the partial pressure of hydrogen that we use in the ideal gas law, okay? So VRT is going to be some fraction. And you used to set it up that way. So why don't you see if sometime between now and Wednesday you can figure that out. Also, though, what we'll also do next time we'll calculate this just making all of our assumptions. Okay? At STP and ignoring water vapor. Okay, so see if you can get this calculation finished here. Think sometime before Wednesday. We'll start by talking about that. Then also think about how you would simplify this if you're making the assumption that we're at standard temperature and pressure and we were ignoring that water vapor like we did. Okay? This kind of thing will not be on the quiz, but... Right, when specifically talking about collecting gas over water, that will not be on the quiz. But I could have anything up to where we just calculated mole fractions and partial pressures themselves. Okay? Does that make sense? All right. We'll meet you guys in lab, and well, we went a little late. Let's start in 15 minutes. So let's start at 3:04. All right.